It is a silly, ridiculous nice day out today. All the crazy snowstorm snow is already gone. It's kind of a shock. I didn't realize it was so warm out until I was leaving the house with Newsy, and he's like, you know, hey, it's warm out. I noticed he was wearing shorts. It's like, that seems a little insane, seeing as we just had a snowstorm. And he's like, nah, it's warm out. And he was right. I just brought a hoodie out, and it was too much. So now I figure I should soak in the rest of this day, go for a little walk. And since I'm going to be walking around, what better way to amuse myself than do a quick podcast? So I just went to see The Watchmen with Newsy, and it was totally good. I don't know, I heard the early reviews were kind of 50-50, and yeah, I don't know. I don't see what the big problem is. I liked it a lot. I actually thought, without spoiling anything for anybody, I thought they kind of fixed the ending. I always thought the ending of the comic was a little out of left field, didn't really work for me. And just makes so much more sense. It's very similar, the way the movie ends. They just tweaked one little thing, and it makes use of an existing resource instead of bringing in some new thing. I thought that was cool. Thumbs up to them.
Aw, shoot. My battery died. Let's jump right to the first song.
Answer me, my love, exactly why you had to go. If you knew it was dangerous, this ain't the first time. No, and I can't keep wandering around looking for you, risking life and limits all loving you. Just to glance a little piece of you, I do it again and again. I keep loving you. Now I'm falling and I'm screaming. We came at this so quick, there's no way I could have heard him. He's a lizard, he's the wizard, and he
kind of like a test. how fast could you identify what's going on in that song? Anybody that had a Super Nintendo probably got it right away. And if not that, then maybe the lyrics started tipping you off that something was not quite on the level about that song. That's by a guy named Jonathan Mann, calls himself the Game Jew. I never heard of him until this week. But he did a whole kind of like Mario opera, Super Mario. And that song was based on, you know, the music from the big castle in Super Mario World. Down, 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 down. And that's a cool song. I like that. Actually, I'm going to play a thing by him a bit, in a bit also. Just kind of help sum up a little bit the power of video games, especially old school nostalgia video games, as a spiritual force. But basically, just for the sake of capping off this little saga, let me just get through this real quick. So, you know how Keith Malley, he did this thing like on 9/11, where he's like, hey, 9/11. You know, once he got over that it was 9/11 and kind of got his head back together, he's like, hey, wait a sec. This might be a good opportunity for me to call up girls I used to date. Hold on, low battery. All right, so yeah, what I was babbling about earlier, too, about, you know, not wanting to spill my guts on Keith and the girl so much these days. Maybe it seems weird that I'm still spilling my guts on my podcast, but it's significantly different. I don't know how many fucking listeners Keith and him to have, but I don't know. Let's say for the sake of argument, 50,000. I don't know. They have a lot. Maybe it's more than that. What are they? Anyway, a lot. I don't. I got like the 300 people that like me that listen to the show, you know, not the fucking 50,000 random yahoos. So you'd be surprised how infrequently I get emails telling me I'm a douche. I basically only get nice emails that want to help me, and I'm okay with that. I got no problem with that. I have no problem with just talking to people that want to hear what I think. Actually, I remember in one of my earlier arguments with Ian, she said that one time. Something along the lines of, like, you only like me when I'm, like, cooing nice, soft words in your ear, not when we're having arguments about stuff and debating issues. And I was like, yeah, no, you got me there. That's kind of true. Sorry. Sorry that I like things better when you like me. Anyway, the same way Keith would use weird events as an excuse to call up girls, I kind of did that, because The Watchmen opened yesterday. And Ian is big into The Watchmen. She's got the comic and everything. So I was like, man, you know, I haven't talked to Ian in ages now. Sent her an email a week ago, she never answered. So, fuck it, you know, here's my last event, my last reason to give her a call. And I didn't really want to. It was a little bit of a frightening prospect. I was nervous about it. But I didn't want to go out like that, motherfuckers. You know, just because I'm scared of something, no reason not to do it. You don't live your life in fear. You don't live trying to avoid fear. You live by trying to attain pleasure, attain goals, not avoid disaster. So I screwed up my courage, gave her a call. And I didn't feel uncertain about this for no reason, let's just say that. She was very polite about it. Very short, unpleasant conversation. She did hang up on me, that was less than polite, I guess. No, but in general, it's just like, no. No, Keith, I don't like you anymore. I don't like you, I'm not going to go see Watchmen with you. I'm not going to see you, I'm not going to talk to you. Goodbye. Fairly unpleasant. Didn't really change the reality of the situation any. Already we're not seeing each other or talking to each other anymore. Those days have passed. But it was still surprising to me how much it hurt to have it all, you know, tied up with a nice little bow like that. Totally finalized. And, I mean, I am the one who technically dropped the hammer on her, but that doesn't really make any difference. That doesn't make me feel any better. Or maybe it did make me feel better, and now I feel bad because I got the second volley back, you know? We each had a chance to give the other one a boot in the ass. But yeah, let me walk you through this real quick. So she hangs up on me. That felt bad. But I was like, hey, I have this new superpower, remember? Where when I feel shitty about stuff, I can make myself feel better again. I've regained my self-confidence and, you know, general joie de vivre. This will be my greatest test. Let's fucking do this shit. So I went and sat down on my couch, and it started to hurt more and more and more. And it was kind of nuts. My throat felt like it was starting to kind of close up. I was that upset. It felt fucking shitty. And then it's like, well, what do I do? I don't know. What can you do? I guess just wait it out. But that I don't know. Well, it's like, kind of like having pins and needles. It's just like, I can't move, but I can't not move. It's just like, yeah. And, yeah, I don't know. I guess it kind of just brought things into a sharper focus. It kind of made things feel more real, of just like, it really is done. Done like dinner. Dinner dog. It is finito. And then, you know, it made this whole, the whole last year or so that I've known her, almost a year, you know, just sort of brought it into sharper focus. Made it all seem a lot more present. And, it pained me. It hurt my tender soul. But I am glad to say, my fucking superpower, my superpower of renewed self-esteem, did not fail me. It took longer. Instead of 20 minutes, it probably took 40 minutes, but, I don't know, man. I mean, I just can't deny that as much as that was an unpleasant experience, I really have just felt better these last couple of weeks. Me and I, and I don't think we were being deliberately malicious to each other. We each got, you know, problems. We each got issues. We each got downsides that we haven't fully dealt with and inadvertently caused each other some pain and unpleasantness, particularly toward the end, but kind of all the way through. And see, this is an example of how I can, when I'm just by myself, I can measure my words. I can be careful what I say. Not that I'm holding back. This is my measured opinion of things. But I have a feeling if I get on Keith's show, it's just like, I do think a lot of Keith Malley, and I like him to like me, you know? It's a good feeling. I just did a little video of Party Super Party footage, and it was just going to be a little clip on the store. But Keith liked it enough that he upgraded it to a Keith and the Girl TV. He's like, man, that's fucking really good. Can you make that a Keith and the Girl TV? And I like that. I like that kind of validation of this guy that the first time I heard his show, I was just like, clicked right in. Like, I like this dude. And I think that works against me sometimes, because then if I'm on his show and he loves conflict on the show, he loves it. Loves it. He lives for that shit. Is that if I started talking about, say, me and Ian, and if he started poking me at all, prodding me for more info in any way, I'll just buckle. I'll just buckle like a fucking belt, because I want to. I want him to have a good show. I want him to like me as a guest. I want him to think I am a funny, fun, cool dude to hang out with. And that's just going to lead to me saying mean things, man. It's just going to lead to me fucking, I don't trust myself. I'm sad to say. Anyway, that was my fucking little story. So, I managed to pull myself together surprisingly well. Not bad at all. If anything, maybe it's going to be the longer term. I don't know. Maybe when I get back home, back to Canada, maybe it'll be a slow... Maybe, well, that's kind of what happened last time I broke up with a girl. It was a slow devolution. Where at first I was like, hey, hoo-ha, I'm free. Let's fucking play this shit up. And then it just slowly ground me down into the dirt. And then I got pepper sprayed in the face. Man, that's been a long time. See, that was another problem. Far too long between relationships. Made me kind of manic. Gotta fucking get on the next pony, so to speak, a little sooner than I did this time around. To keep my brain from going insane. I'm gonna play a song. that just kind of reminded me a bit of the events of this morning. This is a song called Rosalita by Gomez. Played a Gomez song last show. But Gomez, they switch it up quite a bit. Despite being on that same album, this is in a different style and sung by a different guy. And it's a pretty little ditty.
Hard. shawl she had seen her own body outlined in chalk. Night split the sea, the globe spin spun, and her ghost beamed down to kiss me with a message from the sun. Don't go down, don't go down, stay with me, baby, stay. Don't go down, stay with me, baby, stay.
That was the second song I just played. That's an Elliott Smith song. That also happened to have on my MP3 player, and little bits and pieces of that also seem kind of applicable. But, I mean, I don't know, just kind of a song about a girl who's got problems and a relationship that has problems. And it's one of those things where it's so easy to criticize the other person. Sure, I could just say, oh man, this fucking city is so loud. Fuck me in the asshole. Jesus Christ. So yeah, easy enough to say, oh, this is why this relationship didn't work. This person had that problem, and that person had this problem, and nah. Meanwhile, I was just Joe fucking fantastic. But of course I was not. Of course there was a nice mixture of various social problems and psychological issues and life, whatever the fuck's going on between both Ian and I. I do think I recognize these things a lot earlier than I acted upon them. Maybe I shouldn't have drugged my heels so long, but in the end, I don't regret how things overall were. I wanted to have a girlfriend. I did have a girlfriend. A lot of ways she was really fucking cool. We did a lot of cool shit and had fun. But maybe if I hadn't have been a little overly desperate to have a girlfriend out here in New York to ease my struggles in this giant city, maybe I wouldn't have let things string along so long. Maybe that was somewhat unfair. But whatever. What's done is done. Nobody's dead. Everything will be fine in the long run. Let's listen to a nice little bit by the Game Jew, Jonathan Mann. This is his ode to Super Mario Bros. 3. It's called Anticipation. And it's a fucking nice little piece of work.
When I was just a little Game Jew, there was a game that seemed perpetually on the horizon because I anticipated, desired, longed for, with every fiber of my being ached, to hold the controller in my hand and experience it with such total emotional abandon that minutes seemed like hours and days felt like rows of eternities, one after another, designed for the sole purpose of keeping me from it. Super Mario Bros. 3. Halo 3, Grand Theft Auto 4, even Mario Galaxy. I'm excited for Mario Galaxy, but there is something about being 8 years old and hearing vague rumors, reading seemingly cryptic Nintendo Power reports about the facts of the game, getting a piecemeal picture of what it will be like, a hint here, a tease there. Mario can fly, he becomes a frog, whistles, secrets, that makes my current anticipation pale in comparison. To anticipate a game in this way and to have it deliver, it confirms a young boy's faith in humanity. I had never looked forward to something the way that I looked forward to Super Mario Bros. 3, and when it came out, it was clear that I had never played anything quite like it either. My friends and I sat around, handing the controller back and forth, playing, dying, playing, and feeling more at peace with the world than we had ever felt before, and maybe since. Super Mario Bros. 3 was the kind of game that changed my outlook on life. Maybe I saw what was possible, to witness such a gigantic leap in technology and game design, to witness a masterpiece unfold before my very eyes, and to have the experience be shared culturally with millions of other kids the world over, a common language of Mario, the great uniter. You got this sense when playing, even for the first time, that it was a timeless experience, that you and the game were one, and while you were discovering things for the first time, it was as if you had been there before, perhaps in a dream, perhaps in the collective unconscious, but certainly you were not alone. This game made that clear. I'm curious if there are kids now that are as excited for, say, Mario Galaxy, and I'm curious if Miyamoto will be able to again defy our expectations and go beyond what any of us could ever imagine. Whatever happens, I can still play Mario 3 and recall that feeling of exploration and stomping Goombas mixed perfectly with a sense of oneness with the world.
Oh, that was another brilliant insight that I had. I don't know if I said this on the show before. Anyway, I don't know. Let me get this shit on wax. Is that me and Ian, we'd have all these fights where just the nature of how we were fighting, it was never towards some common goal. It was never in an honest attempt at resolution. It's just fighting, you know? It was not like we were on the same side working toward anything common. And I could never figure out why that was. And now I realize it's because we actually weren't on the same side. You know, we're not. Very different views about sex and drugs specifically, but things. And I'm sure, well, I guess she said as much, that the reason she don't want to talk to me no more, don't want to go see no Watchmen with my ass, is because last time we talked, I was just mean to her and insulted her, but I don't know. I was just telling her what I really fucking think about things, which I was kind of playing close to the chest, which is just a bad thing to do. Because, of course, that's going to lead to weird unspoken resentments, and of course, that's going to lead to weird arguments that you can't seem to find the foundation of. But if I'd done that out of the gate, we wouldn't have dated, because we got these incompatible views of life. So, what does one do? Apparently one does what I did, which is to half lie about things and get in a lot of fights. But I will focus on the good times. I think the good times were worth it. Maybe next time I'm interested in a girl, I won't think this will be worth it. Maybe I'll be a little more honest. Maybe if things aren't supposed to spark, because they aren't going to work out, maybe I'll realize that and I won't put myself through all this. Or the other person. But hell, maybe I will. Who the fuck knows? Stay tuned to my life. Alright, this weather is starting to go south. By which I mean north, I guess, because it's getting dark and windy and cold. So I should head on the fuck home, but I keep finding songs on here that I want to play. I guess it's the thing I was saying before, right? It's like, song lyrics are so sort of vaguely generalized that it's an awful lot of different songs that can apply to an awful lot of different situations. No one's life is so crazy fucking different unless you're a fucking ninja or something. This is Brad Sucks, who I played many, many times before. There was a thing, I think the most famous guy for this was Jonathan Colton, where he did a song a week for a while, like a year, I think. And that guy I played earlier, Jonathan Mann, the Game Jew, he's currently doing a song a day, which is a brave motherfucking thing to try to do. So Brad Sox is doing the distinctly more leisurely pace of trying to demo a song a month. Anyway, this was the first one. This was the January song. This is called Certain Types of People, I think. And I like this song. This is a cool little ditty.
Certain types of people bring you down and turn you evil. If you quit talking and use your brain, maybe things wouldn't be the same. Oh, it's given that certain types of people love to help but are barely able. You'll see problems and make a change when you're searching around for something that won't be coming back again. Types of people, rarely bad, fairly decent. You mind your manners and behave when you're searching around for something that won't be coming back again.
And now to finish things off, this is a song by Evan Dando of the Lemonheads. It's a cover. Can't remember the name of the woman who wrote it originally. Is it not Lucinda Williams, right? Because isn't she the country chick? I can't remember. Anyway, it was an album of cover songs by this one woman. I remember Pearl Jam did Crazy Mary on that also. It was very good. But this Evan Dando one, it's called Frying Pan. And I remember there was a span of like years where if I was just walking around and I happened to find myself alone, which happened a lot more when I wasn't in New York, and I would just start to sing to myself, this song would just come to my lips. One of, like, not very many, three or four songs that just were always on the tip of my tongue when it came time for random singing. And it's a pretty nice little song, so let's finish off the show with that. Some Frying Pan.
One laugh in the middle of a struggle. A diamond at the bottom of a puddle. Did you ever stare at the moon till you saw double? I hear you walk away from trouble. Good love, there ain't no denying. Say bad love, somebody ain't trying. Did you ever walk someplace just to take time, or take the fast road and get going, and then the rules break, there's no mistake. These are precious times, you and I, we walk the line, we walk the line. I looked in a frying pan, I sang a song. I looked at a dying man, he sang along. We got mountains, yeah, we got beaches. Got love that makes us mad, love it has to teach us. I looked in a frying pan, sang a song. I looked at a dying man, he sang along. Thank you.
then the rules break. There's no mistake. These are precious times. You and I, we walk the line. We walk the line. We walk the line. We walk the line.
Hey, diamond, at the bottom of a puddle. Sing along with Keith McNally. Nobody came to hear that, did they? No, I will fade myself out now gradually. Fading away, fading away, fading away.